NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
Fact or myth? In the big game, the coin toss usually comes up heads. That is a myth. In fact, tails has come up more often in recent years. Football is full of myths, like the pigskin isn't actually made of pigskin. Gambling is a share of myths, too. Unfortunately, believing gambling myths can cost you a lot of money. So learn what's myth and what's fact at KeepItFunOhio.com. You'll also find helpful tips, interesting quizzes, and great games all to help ensure gambling is always fun.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Chuck and Daniel. Today we got Daniel Fielding, who wrote a book, The Asset Mindset. Dan, I don't know, first tell us a little bit about yourself.
So myself, I'm a guy that just grew up in a blue-collar family. My dad was my biggest, you know, mentor and hero in the beginning. Grew up through life playing sports, doing football, karate, played baseball a little bit. Went to college to get a degree and my real estate license, and then 9/11 happened and changed my world, like it changed so many others' world and lives. And I had to do something, so I ended up joining the military, the U.S. Army, and becoming a Green Beret with the 7th Special Forces Group. And did that for a little while, and then got out and worked as a Department of Defense contractor with active duty troops, and also had some time doing security for Kid Rock back when I first got out. And now that I live in Nashville, I'm back to doing security for him again. Been a little over 2+ years. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride, interesting life. So that's a quick little summary, but if you want to know more, I mean, there is the book.
But there you go. That's the answer, right? Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, that sounds like every kid's dream, you know, go around with a rock star and be a, you know, special forces guy. You're kind of cover it all there. Where are you from? Amazing. What state did you grow up in as a kid? I mean, you said Nashville now, but.
I was born just outside of Boston, Massachusetts. So on the South Shore, and grew up there. Like I said, blue collar family. We had some land. We had chickens. You know, I was born in the 70s. So it was not like it is today. You know, we came home like when it was dark. You didn't know where you're going to go and who you're going to hang out with. It just kind of happened. And if you came home after dark, then you got in trouble. But yeah, so I grew up in Massachusetts originally.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm from New York, but I don't know, the last about 5 years ago, the taxes got to me and down in North Carolina now. So I don't know, a little bit of excitement. Yeah, no, I was in the Navy. I on a guided missile cruiser from 96 to like 2002, somewhere around there. So yeah, no, September 11th, I was in Norfolk that morning, and my ship actually was in New York Harbor that evening. So,
wow.
They like, you know, up and go, and being from New York, I was like, oh, you know, that's intense. So what is the asset mindset? Like, what's the idea? Like, I don't know. What's the takeaway we're looking for, I guess, with that?
Well, the asset mindset is a life philosophy, pretty much. Like, there's a lot of books on mindset, like who to think certain ways. Well, the asset mindset is a philosophy for life that goes across the board in everything you're doing. You kind of judge everything as it's an asset or a liability in your life. Are you with good people or are you with bad people that are bringing you down? Are you doing a career or job that you love? Are you doing things you're passionate about? So it's a mindset where you're realizing, hey, I am my greatest asset in life. I have more ability to affect my life and change than anybody else. So that's number one. The first thing you need to realize in the asset mindset is that you're the driver, you know, in your car of life.
You're accountable for you, huh?
Yes. Yeah. You need to own it. You know, own the power. I say all the time when I sign my books, I'm like, own the power, like own your own power. Realize if you don't like your job, go find another one. How many people complain about their job, then go home, have dinner and watch TV? Like build a resume, go out there, do a side hustle, get something going. Like you have nobody to blame, especially nowadays with technology. Even if you don't like technology that much, you can YouTube things, you can learn stuff. It's all out there. You just need to do the work.
That's one of the things I think, like, you know, they always say, with, like you said, you kind of create your world, I guess is how I interpret what you're saying. You know, I mean, you choose what you choose to be around and who you hang out with and what kind of things you focus on. I read most of the book and it was a lot of that kind of, you know, it's the people you surround yourself with. You know, they say you can, you know, take the average income or like the six closest friends and then that should be like your income, because you kind of, it's that what you believe you're capable of and you know, and also that idea of people tend to focus on negativity or focus on the positive, you know, and it's just like you pick one or the other and you choose the world you make. So no, I appreciate that.
No, absolutely. And you're bringing into the second point when you talk about, you know, the people you're around.
Right here.
So that's one of your choices.
Yeah.
So the people you're around do rub off on you. They're influences. Like there's nothing more influential. I saw in a recent Harvard study, I wish I could quote, you know, what study number or people could go look it up. But it was saying one of the great successes or to be successful in life is surrounding yourself with positive people that are going to lift you up or that are winners or that are going out there and doing things and achieving goals. If you're with people that are just complaining, you know, I mean, I like to have a good time, barbecue, cookout, attend a party or whatever. But if that's all you do, that's just sitting around and drinking beer, maybe watching football. Like there's nothing wrong with that, but you need to have something else that's like the highlight of your week or something that is, you know, unless you're passionate and you're a player and you're involved that way and that's your dream, great. But my point is don't waste your time on doing things that aren't going to change your life, and don't waste your time with people that aren't helping you or motivating you.
Yeah. And that's where it's always so discouraging. You see everybody get so kind of caught up in social media and stuff like that. Like there's benefits. I mean, honestly, in my mind, you could watch TV 3 or 4 hours a day. And if you were watching the right stuff, it could be an asset and a good thing. You Absolutely. Know, like I don't see that as it has to be bad. But maybe watching, you know, reruns of Seinfeld or something or whatever people watch. I don't know. I haven't had cable in forever, but you know, that's the thing. Like it doesn't have to be bad. You know, podcasts can be really, you know, good. I know when I listen to like certain music, I can be like inspired and it, you know, it makes me better. So I'm not saying like social media has to be bad. It can bring good things. And honestly, watching YouTube can make you, you know, better and get you closer to your goals if you're doing that all day. But people get so caught up in nonsense and just like kind of time wasting, or I guess it's distractions, right? You know, people get, you know, things to basically, oh, I don't want to deal with life, so I'm going to, you know, play Command and Conquer for 20 hours or whatever it is they do. And, you know, and it just nothing is gained. And I think that's, like you said, you can kind of create the world you want, but it's going to probably take some effort, you know, to get there.
Absolutely, effort. And then time. I talk about time in my book as being a great asset. When you're wasting your time and just doing something that's spinning your wheels, like you said, playing a video game, if you're spending, you know, what, 4 or 5 hours a day times, you know, 7 days a week, like that's a lot. That's almost like a full-time job. What could you do? Yeah. Towards one of your goals, or, you know, getting another job or making more money with a side hustle. Time is limited. And I like to talk about time. You know, I use a lot of vehicle analogies or different analogies, as I'm sure you've seen in the book. But like, we're all born with the gas tank, you know, of time. We don't know how long that time is going to be. You may have a 50-gallon tank. I may have a 45-gallon tank. But do you want to run efficiently too? Like, if you take care of yourself, that fuel is going to last a little longer. But time is a great asset, and you don't know when it's going to run out. So you need to take advantage of it in the now. You know, that's why I even in my book, my recommended reading list is Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, because we say a lot of the similar same things, or like you mentioned when we first spoke, Napoleon Hill, like the truth is the truth. And that's all I'm doing is highlighting the truth to achieve success. And I've been blessed to do it in a way where it's really getting through to people. That's what's been amazing to me, is how many people I've been able to touch. You know, I joined the military after 9/11, like we spoke, was to, you know, hey, I'm going to change the world. I'm going to make the world a better place. You know, and I did. I did great things with my team. I mean, you can kind of see some pictures in the background and whatnot. But, you know, that was fantastic. And that was a great chapter. But I'm now learning, honestly, the pen is mightier than the sword, or the rifle, as, you know, I didn't want to run around with a sword. But
no, not same, so much.
The analogy, you know, like, it really is. I'm touching more lives than I ever thought I would. I had a 92-year-old lady come up to me at like a book signing and say I changed her life. I'm like, you're 92. You must have so much experience and knowledge. You know, like, I want to learn from you. And she goes, no, your book motivated me. I have a job again at 92 years old. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, I had to get back out there, interact with people. And I, that's what I wanted to do. You know, and I was like, that type of stuff is inspiring to me. Like, she got out of the house. She was just, you know, getting sick of just being sitting around and whatnot. And I was like, more power to you, woman. You know, I signed her book and she smiles. I gave her a hug. And yeah, it was good stuff. Those are the type of things that really move you.
Yeah, no, I like it. That's the big thing. Like, people need a purpose, I think, too. Like, her going back and getting a job and whatever, it, you know, it seems once people kind of have nothing going on, then they fade away. But people who are, you know, still working at the store they created or whatever, just doing whatever it is you love. It doesn't even have to be a job. You know, it's helping out at the shelter, or maybe people are caught up in their church and, you know, all kinds of, you know, just being involved. But you need a purpose, and you need a purpose that's fulfilling. And like you said, you know, really hopefully benefiting the people around you. I mean, you obviously, you know, have that mindset of like a servant kind of thing. If you put the effort and write this book and being in the military and doing something like that, I like it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, it's been amazing. And I love how you say purpose. We all need that. I mean, I think that's kind of contributing to some of the issues that people are having with mental health.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not doing something that you believe in, or you don't feel internally, and it may be subconsciously too, like, you don't have a purpose. If you feel your life is meaningless, like you're just going to some job you hate, coming home every day to like eat, watch TV for a little bit, go to bed, get up, do the same thing all over again. Like, of course you're going to feel horrible in life. Of course that's going to wear on you mentally and subconsciously. If you're doing something, you get up and you are like, wow, I can't wait to work with this person or work on this project, or, oh, I'm going to do this today. Like, that's game changing. And I like to talk about, think about any event that you've done in your life, whether it's going on vacation, you were a kid, it was Christmas or your birthday, and you wake up, how do you feel on those days when you have a purpose or excitement? You have no problem getting out of bed. You're going on a vacation and getting on a flight to go to the Bahamas or do something. Or if it's your birthday and you're going to be opening presents or got a party to go to, or whatever it may be, a wedding. Those days, that'll show you right there the difference between living with a purpose and just going through the motions.
That's a great example. Like, I like that, you know, because you're right. I mean, that's, you know, it's what motivates you. And when you're motivated, you're accomplishing so much more. And that's the thing, like, you know, people get caught up in a routine and whatever. And honestly, if your routine makes you happy, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, if you know, getting up, you know, like you said, I kind of got the whole like farm thing going on here where it's, you know, maybe not some people's mind. I don't know. To me, it's a big farm. To farmers, it's a small farm. It's, you know, whatever. But you know, chickens and rabbits and dogs and things to plant and tractors and things going on. And to me, that makes me happy, right? I have purpose and whatever. And I used to kind of like same thing. I think that's one of the big things that happens with a lot of military guys is you kind of, I don't know, a lot of the guys I know kind of don't want to be out hanging out with people and socializing and interacting with the world and kind of, I hate to use the word distaste for it, but I don't know. A lot of guys come back angry from military life. I'll say that. And when I kind of moved out of New York, where also people aren't exactly as chatty and friendly, you know, everywhere you go in New York as they are maybe in the South. And now I was like, you know, I'm going to change my life though. And like, you know, it's that mindset of, all right, you know what? I'm going to go to my wife, does like a lot of farmers markets and things like that. And I'm going to go and I start hanging out with the mayor in my small town at the farmers market, you know, and we go around and meet everybody and whatever. And it's a different attitude and a different, you know, kind of mindset where you get out and involve with people. And it's really uplifting. And it really, you know, helping other people like that is, you know, is really game changing, I guess, with how your mental status, you know, changes your mental mindset, you know,
healthier. Yeah. You'll be much healthier, more positive. You know, my dad told me many years ago that if you can lay your head on the pillow at night and know that you did something that day, at least one thing to move your life forward. So when you get up tomorrow, it's a better day. And you can lay your head on the pillow without stress, like you were a good person, you don't feel guilty about anything, you treated people right. He goes, and be at peace when you go to sleep. He goes, that's success.
Yeah.
And I think he's absolutely right on. It doesn't matter what success is to me, to you, or to any of your viewers. It matters to them what it is. Like if they can go to bed at night saying, you know what, I spent time working on my farm all day. And I'm happy, I've got food I'm providing for the family or I'm selling at the farmer's market, then guess what? They have reached success, you know, in their world.
Right.
Someone else right. That's, hey, I'm trying to write a book or I want to be a musician and I just recorded, you know, my first song or whatever, then great. You know, we all have different things or ideas that make us happy and what success is. So I think we should encourage each other, not put each other down, which I think that's happening a lot too. Because people feel bad about themselves. And I talk about that in my book, A Crab Mentality. It's like the crab's in the bucket. Oh, you know, you have one in there, he can crawl out. You put a bunch in there, every time one gets close to climbing out, the other ones pull it back down. It's like they don't want to see the other one be successful and get out. Now, not everybody's like that. That's why I say you got to surround yourself with good people. But that is very important if you want to have success and purpose is to find the motivation you want. And I try and do that in my book too. Like that's one of the things I speak about is like, how do you find that spark? You know, how do you go about knowing what am I going to do with my life or what really makes me happy? And that's where you need to take time yourself and have some reflection, go for a walk, be out in nature, get some alone time, you know, do some meditation, whatever it is that works for you, but you got to figure out and reflect on what makes you happy.
Yeah. That's the big thing is getting out and experiencing different things, I think makes a big difference in, you know, how you're able to choose and shape your world. You know, if you have only known certain things, but I also back to your kind of crab mentality, you know, that's so obvious when you're looking at it. As far as like, you know, I can hang out with people at work and I'm like, oh, you know, I want to do this, you know, new business thing and whatever. And, you know, guys, oh, that can't work. You know, you're, you know, and they just jump right on and kind of bring you down and defeat your ideas before you even move on. And then, you know, when I work with other people, it's, you know, night and day, you know, of, oh yeah, that's awesome. Look, I've done things like that. You could definitely do that, you know, and it's who you surround yourself with. And that, you know, is one of the benefits of like social media and that kind of thing where you can find a group of positive people if there's not enough, you know, around you. I mean, I'm not saying that should be maybe where you're going to find it. I like real people, you know, as a general rule, but,
There's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's right. It's a tool, right? You know, like we say with guns, we say with everything. It's, you know, it's a tool. It can be good or bad. You know, it can really, you know, benefit you or it can bring you down. And that's it's funny. I'm a electrician. We kind of have that. It's kind of like that. Like the work schedule is like a fireman kind of thing where if nothing breaks, you're just hanging around in a lot of free time and I can be working on my podcast or doing, you know, whatever, or I might, you know, you know, where I'm nonstop calls and everything's broken and the world's ending, you know, it's one of those things.
No, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, what we're talking about here are keys to life and to being successful, and everybody can do it. And that's where I say, like, the asset mindset isn't just for special forces. Now, if you want to be in special forces, you better have the asset mindset. You better be able to overcome obstacles. You better be able to embrace the suck. But you can be a regular person, civilian, male, female, whatever it is, like, you can do that. Like, you can have the asset mindset. Many people have it. I've seen it through, you know, celebrities and people that haven't served. They still get up early or have that work ethic or doing what needs to be done or having the passion to go after their dreams. And they spend hours working on a project or a song or whatever it may be.
How many people are like, oh, I wish I could write a book or do this. And they talk and then they waste, you know, all this time on, I mean, I don't even know how you do it, how you find the time and commit. But I mean, I guess I do. I end up, you know, working the time with my podcast and things like that. I mean, we actually put a decent amount of effort into, you know, prepping stuff and setting up to, you know, do research. I feel like if somebody's going to give me their time and, you know, hey, I'm going to spend an hour with you a week or 40 minutes or whatever, then I know I'm not listening to somebody's podcast unless I feel like I'm getting a takeaway, you know, where I'm like, hey, either one, I feel better about myself or whatever, but I mean, I'm usually looking for like, wow, I learned something I didn't know. Wow. That's a different approach to something that's, you know, awesome that I didn't consider. And I want a takeaway. I want to learn something new. And if I'm going to take up your time, I want to give you something that, hey, you know, it's worth showing up because look, I gave you some knowledge. I don't want to waste your time. You know, it's not, I don't want to just fill the commute to work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't want it to be like, no, I got through it, you know?
Well, if you want to know any prepping stuff from a Special Forces Green Beret, we can talk that stuff too. I might know or have some experience about, you know, getting ready.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm sure. Now, well, what is your kind of take on the world right now? What are you thinking as far as what's going on? I mean, it's kind of crazy out there.
It is. It is crazy. But if you study history, this isn't the only crazy moment in time. So that I always kind of fall back on. You know, I mean, you can look at the Cuban Missile Crisis. You can look at World War One, World War Two, all these different things. Is it crazy? Do I feel we're teetering a little bit? Yes. Do I feel we're kind of losing our way as a country a little bit? Yes. But are we salvageable? That answer is also yes. Could we trip and fall? Every empire that's ever been on this earth hasn't lasted forever. So can we last longer? Yes. But I mean, we all have to be humble and realize we're not going to be on top forever. You know, it just, it doesn't work that way.
Well, I like to think we are, but I'm with you.
Yeah, we all like that.
And I like that idea, right?
You know, but it's just facts. But as far as the world right now, I think people need to be prepared to take care of themselves, their family, and the ones they love and the people around them. If you are not ready for, you know, a catastrophe or bad things happening, you could be in serious trouble. And we are not immune. A lot of people think here in America, like, oh, bad things can't happen. But look what just happened in Hawaii. You know, those people, if they weren't very, you can look at hurricane stuff where people are out of power. Texas had the heat wave and, you know, power went out and they were having problems. Like, if you don't have the ability to make it for some time with your family, like you don't have water, you don't have energy, you don't have food. I mean, God forbid it ever happens. But if we have to go, you know, we saw what happened with that whole virus stuff going around and shelves were empty. Yeah, imagine if it was real 6 months of like, there's no power in this power grid, or, you know, you can't go to the grocery store and get food. What are you going to do? And that's going to be chaos, because I don't care who you are, you're going to want to feed your kid. And if they're really starving and you're starving, you may skew your line of where you're comfortable.
What's moral stuff. Or, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, you know what? I hate to do this, but I want my child to survive, or I want to feed my wife, or, you know, so you need to be ready for things going bad. And another example, I think, is you talked about the world. Like, look at Ukraine. You go back a couple of years ago, if you visited Ukraine and walked around at beautiful cities, you know, you could go shopping, you could eat at restaurants. Now it's a war zone. It doesn't take very long to destroy a country. It takes a hell of a long time to rebuild it. If you blow up a building or something like that, that's one bomb. Boom. Seconds. How long does it take, and how many people to clean up the rubble, rebuild? You're an electrician, wiring, you know, all the plumbing, everything. It's not a quick fix. It's easy to destroy stuff. It's not easy to rebuild.
Right. No, definitely. The, it's amazing. We had listeners who were in Puerto Rico, you know, when they had all that issue, you know, what was it, 2 years ago, I guess, when they had that big hurricane that kind of like wiped out the island. And, you know, and I had guys reach out and were like, hey, you know, you've pushed me to do the long-term food storage, and man, it really paid off for me. And I'm like, and like you said, you get that satisfaction of, wow, you know, I really helped somebody, you know, kind of had them a little more prepared and whatever. And I think, you know, Glenn Beck had that book, The Overton Window or something. And he just, it's a mindset of, you know, of people, they've never seen it before. You know, America's never had real struggle, or at least in our lifetime, right? You know, obviously we had the Depression and things like that. Right. Right. But it's, I've never seen it. So I don't know what that would be like. And like you said, like, you know, you mentioned Ukraine, Venezuela was the same thing, where, you know, Venezuela was thriving and amazing. And, you know, when Obama kept running around going, you know, that if I had a country, it would be Venezuela. That would be, you know, he also said Detroit, if he had a city, you know, that, and I don't know what happened there, but that's it. You know, the world can dramatically change. And even just like, if people had their, you know, more, you know, I use the word long-term food storage. I don't mean your 25-year shelf life. I mean, you have a stockpile of food, you know, you have food that's going to last a little bit beyond, you know, this week. You know, some people really are like 2 days, you know, if they don't go to the grocery store on the way home from work, then there's a problem. You know, they don't have enough. And something like COVID or something, you know, something simple. Obviously COVID wasn't that simple, but something that isn't, you know, world changing. It's not an atomic bomb in the middle of town, but it's still, hey, you know, you're even losing your job, right? Something like that, having food storage, having stuff prepared, having your bills paid up, you know, for, you know, you kind of write out those checks at the beginning of the month instead of the end of the month. You know, that changes your emergency, you know, need status kind of thing, or, you know, having $2,000 in the bank, or $4,000 or $6,000, you know, all relative to, you know, who you are, but makes a big difference and can really change things. And it also gives you peace of mind and makes you more confident to kind of take risks and move forward, I think, with other things, which is a nice plus, you know.
Yeah, it can take some of the stress away when you see crazy things happen in the world and you know you have that safety net, you know, or you prepared. You know, we had a storm here, like we talked about. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be an atomic bomb or a terrorist attack. We had, you know, windstorm come here this spring and it took down a tree. But when it took down the tree, it took down the whole entire electrical service, from the weatherhead, meter box, everything. It pulled it all off the house and it's laying on the ground. So yeah, the electricity, you know, the electric company is going around turning people's power back on, but they're not going to do that for me. And everybody's, you know, running around in different storms and power outage. power got back in my neighborhood, but I was still without because my service was laying on the ground, even though they livened it up down the street in the pole. It's not getting to my house, you know? Right. So we had to run on my propane generator. Luckily I was prepared. I had a large propane tank. I just ran the wires, boom, plugged it in, started it up. We had our fridge working, you know, we had stove, we had everything we needed to survive. And it made it so that it wasn't that bad. But my wife and I kept thinking, if we didn't have that generator, what would it be like? What would happen to our freezers? Because we have two freezers. Myself, we raise meat birds and we did 60 Cornish cross this year. We do that for a number because we at least have one chicken a week. You know, we figure we can lose some or we can give a couple away. But, you know, and then we have our layers. But we have freezers full of chicken and full of meat and other things.
Right.
And man, if power was out and we lost all that, I mean, that was so much work. So, yeah. I mean, hundreds of pounds of meat that we would have lost, you know? So it was nice to have that. And that's comforting. And I think everybody needs to have some of that in life. Like you said, you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to have 25, 30 years of food and, you know, have a Connex full of different stuff, but at least have something.
Something that's nice too. But
you know, the more the better. It's one of those things, right?
It's like people buying guns. I don't know. You know, one or two, who knows? But that's the thing, is just being prepared, I think, makes people more confident, you know, when you're not in a desperate situation. And taking the steps to, you know, change your life kind of to do that is huge. And like you said, if, you know, your job doesn't pay the bills where it's like, well, I can't really, you know, buy any extra. I make just enough to make it to the end of the week and that's it. I can never get ahead. Well, that's when you need to, you know, start looking at other things and expanding your horizon of, you know, where, what you can do. Now, I understand when you're working a million hours at the low paying job and you're nonstop and you got the boss cracking the whip going, don't look at your phone. Don't, you know, nothing. I get that. That's, you know, it's a different level. You know, people always say, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, cause you've already, you know, accomplished whatever. I don't know. I mean,
People like to do that to make themselves feel better. And that's where I'm trying to really make that mental shift and change in people with the asset mindset, is you need to make the changes. Like you're saying, like, oh, I work all week. And you may be working hard, but you know what? We can all do a little more. You know, you can do that little bit of extra, find something. Or if you need a new skill set, maybe you need to study and learn to get a skill, to get a raise, to move up that ladder in whatever job you're working.
Right.
You know, and that little extra, I like to talk, I've heard this and I stole it from someone and I don't know who, but what's the difference between ordinary people and extraordinary people? It's just that little extra. It's the same where you just put extra in front of it. And like, if you do that in your life, it will absolutely be a game changer. And if you can get the mindset where you start thinking that way instead of I can't and how do I, then it's a game changer.
Yeah. No, same. I just read something and I didn't write it down where it came from and whatever, but somebody was talking and they were saying that if you do 4 hours a week, I think it was, towards any goal, you'll be better than like 90% of the people who do it, you know, of actual effort. I know they were talking about like learning to play guitar or karate or, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. And I think, sadly, that's probably true. You know, people don't put effort into bettering, you know, themselves and changing things. And it's not, you know, it's funny, when I was a kid, like I did the, you know, guitar player and the rock and roll band thing and whatever. And I was fine and good enough, but I'd see people who are amazing and I'd be like, well, they're born with it, you know, oh, they, whatever. And then it was funny, a guy like rolled into town and was like, oh, you know, I have this band, I'm going on tour and my band's on the West Coast and I need a guitar player. I like you as a person, but you know, we'll have to really commit if you want to, you know, come play around with me. And it was like, oh yeah, for the next 3 months, we're going to practice 4 hours a day. And then all of a sudden I'm like really good. And I'm like, oh, Well, so that's what I should have been doing is like, you know, if you want to change something, you got to, you know, put effort in and get some skin in the game. And people, I mean, obviously people are born and have natural talents and different things and things that you're, you know, better at or whatever. But it turns out that just making effort for a consistent, you know, amount of time can really be, you know, a big game changer on your ability. And we're so quick, I think, to just dismiss like, well, they're born with it, or their dad gave them money, or they, you know, whatever it is that makes it easy for everyone else. We always kind of, in our mind, the lazy way, I guess, is to be like, well, for them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and no, I think that's definitely true for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. And I will tell you, I've heard this across the board in many people in the military. I've heard it in the sports world. I will take effort over talent or heart over talent any day.
All day.
Because you can be born with talent. And if you're not working on it, though, someone that works every day, work ethic and heart can outwin talent. And I'm serious with that. And I think there's a prime example out there in the world. Love him, hate him, whatever. Tom Brady. You know, when he came into the NFL, he wasn't the fastest quarterback. He wasn't the best quarterback. But that guy worked. He learned and put effort in. I remember hearing, like, he was the first guy at practice and the last guy to leave. And look what that did for him. No quarterback has ever won so many Super Bowls. What has he got, like seven now or something? Seven rings?
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. But other great basketball players, what'd they do? You know, Kobe Bryant, he's like, hey, I'm up, you know, shooting this many baskets, doing this. If I do an extra hour or two, you know, a day, that's 365 hours of extra practice I have, you know, just 1 hour, 365 days of practice in a year than my competitors. But if I'm doing two, now I've done, you know, 730, you know, it just, those type of things, that's that little extra. And people can do it. And I hope your viewers realize that, whether it's prepping, whether it's a job, just do that little extra, you know, get focused, put the work in, and then you're going to gain momentum. It's hard in the beginning. It's like the first time you go to the gym, you know, oh, the next day you're sore and it's hard, but the more you do it, you adapt, you know, and you overcome those problems and it starts feeling good and you gain momentum. So whatever the dream or the goal you have is, if you can get momentum going, I mean, you're going to go a lot further than you think you could. Like, I never imagined that I would be where I'm at. You know, when I was a kid in high school, I came from a small town. You know, there was like, geez, just not even that many. I think my whole entire school, ninth through, you know, 12th grade high school, had like 400 kids. You know what I mean? Small. And there's graduating classes that have more than 400 kids at some schools. Now, it's not the smallest school in the world, but, you know, like, I've talked to some old friends and they're like, I can't believe, like, you know, you work for Kid Rock, or, you know, you've been a special.
That's cool, right? Yeah.
How did that, like, how did you come from this small town here, you know, in the suburbs, like, to know and do and achieve all this stuff? Like, so it's possible. And the American dream is still out there. You know, your dreams are out there. Whatever it is you want to do, you can make it happen. You just got to do the work. But you can make the work fun, too.
Now, definitely, like you said, though, that mindset. It's funny, I've lately have been in kind of sitting in on the hiring process and looking at new, you know, candidates coming in for our mechanics and electricians. And I'll get guys who are like, yeah, I've been doing this 25 years, and we'll ask them questions and whatever. But they're confident and whatever, but you can just kind of see that they already know it all. You know, it's one of those, I always like to say, you know, you can't learn anything if you already know it all. And and that's the thing. But if I get a guy who's like, you know what, I really am willing to put the effort and learn this. I don't know this one thing, you know, this one section of the job, but that I could really, that to me right away, I'm like, oh, cool, that guy's fine. You know, I'm not worried about the couple of skills that you don't have. Cause like you said, being trainable or whatever is, but, and that's so much better than the guy who believes he already knows it all. You know, that's, but
no, absolutely. And that's where I'm going to keep falling back on, the mindset is so key, and having that asset mindset philosophy you're always growing. You know, you were in the military too. I mean, you were in infantry, but like we always say, the fighting positions, you're always improving your fighting position. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't just build a hide site and then leave it. You know, guess what? That foliage you put out there, the sun bakes on it all day. The leaves start wilting. It shows like you're constantly upkeeping. You constantly need to do that in your life. And I know we spoke a little bit about ownership. I'm going to go back to that now because I think people need to understand how much ownership they need to take of their goals and their dreams. If you have a pet, I know you mentioned a dog. What do you have to do with that dog? Every day you need to let it out. You need to feed it. You need to water it. You need to keep it healthy. You need to take care of it. You need to pet it, groom it, take it to the vets, give it whatever medicine it needs. Every day you are owning that pet. You need to own your dreams and own your goals like you own your pet. Are you working on a dream every single day? Like you take care of your pet? That's ownership. So if you need to make something happen, that's how you need to own it.
I like it. No, I think that's right though. And people, like I said, it's so easy to be mentally lazy and just dismiss it as, well, that's for other people. But I think you're right on. It's people need to, you know, own it and move forward. And that's even, you know, the job that I'm at now. I did good, but I didn't have like benefits, you know, so I had my own like small business, or I worked with another guy and for a small business, and the other guy's, you know, whatever. But we had that, and I was like, well, I want to get out of New York. I don't want to pay $12,000 a year in taxes, you know, in property taxes. And, you know, now I'm like $1,400 or something, you know, it's a little different shift, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, we could change that. And, you know, and gun laws were important to me, and New York was definitely going in the wrong direction. And I was like, I need to find a way out. But in order to do it, I had to do the uncomfortable of, well, one, I may have to go work for somebody where, you know, I'm working for a company, which I had not done in forever or whatever. And I had to, you know, the job I ended up taking, they were like, oh, look, you have to do these like 6 college classes while you're here. And, you know, and that's effort and uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh, I'm, you know, at the time, like 40 years old, and I got to go back to college at the community college with a bunch of 18-year-olds. And that's probably not going to be that fun for me. And, you know, but it's all these things. And, oh, you know, your pay isn't going to be amazing day one, but you'll get there in, you know, in a year and a half or whatever. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's like there were all these uncomfortable steps. Plus, you know, we all know moving and whatever is stressful and chaotic. But it was so worth to get the outcome. You know, it was worth giving up and making all these changes to, you know, get where I can have my own land and do, you know, I mean, I had my own house and whatever, but it just, now I can have what I want. You know, now I have the 100-yard shooting range in the backyard, you know, different things. It's a different world. And yeah. It's not to brag. It's, I made sacrifices. You know, people always say, oh, well, that was easy for you. Well, no, it wasn't. Like I used to have rental properties when I was a kid, and everyone be like, well, that's easy for you, but not for other people. And I'm like, no, I made sacrifices. And yeah, I had some windfalls, but I also had some really uncomfortable times of, you know, is that house going to sell or whatever? You know, I don't have anybody paying rent this month and I got to figure it out. You know, there's sacrifices you make to get where you want to be. And we all make choices. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is making choices and deciding to get there.
Yeah. You want to make good choices, you know, to move your life ahead, or are you just going to make poor choices? You know, that's why I say nobody affects your life more than you do, positively or negatively. And right. I think your viewers know that. That's why they're turning in and they're trying to make their lives better. They're trying to prepare for their future. And that's key. Like you need to enjoy the moment, but you still should be looking ahead, you know, planning. So your moment should add up to something in the future.
Yeah, no, that's definitely right. Now I don't want to take up your whole morning here, but now I'd be the bad guy if I didn't ask you about some of your big rock star stories here, hanging out with rock stars. What's the excitement?
Well, I can honestly say I didn't get to bed till 2 o'clock in the morning last night doing some security work with Rock. I can't say what we were doing and what was going on, but it was definitely interesting. and it possibly at some point could make the news again. Who knows? You never know with media or TMZ or different things. But I will give you a little something that your viewers can have and most people don't know as far as Kid Rock. Like, he's the American badass, but you know what's hilarious? I pull security on him when he goes to the antique stores. So when we fly in and we're going somewhere for a concert and like we're there a day early or whatever, he's going to go antique shopping. Kid Rock, the antique thing, huh? Yeah. Nice. One of the things. Yeah. I mean, he does a lot of other stuff too. He loves shooting, hunting and whatnot, but that's just, you know, myself until I got to know him and, you know, worked with him since 2009. Now we met in 2008. So we're going on 15 years. We've known each other. Mm-hmm. And that was just funny. I never imagined that in the beginning. Like, you know,
now, how'd you get into something like that? Was it, were you just already doing security for people and, or how'd that work out?
No, that was God's plan, so to speak. I mean, I was in the Bahamas in 2008 on my birthday. So the year before, I was in Afghanistan, literally running missions and clearing houses and whatnot on my birthday. So I wanted to do something, you know, that following year. And I'd just gotten off active duty, like 10 days before or something like that, a week before. And, you know, I'm down there in the Bahamas and I'm chilling out on the beach. I hear a bunch of loud music and I'm like, man, let's see what's going on. You know, I want to have some drinks, you know, have fun. It's my birthday. Who is it? It's Kid Rock in his private cabana on the beach, jamming out because he's passionate about music. And I was like, man, that's Kid Rock. You know what? He does a lot for the troops. I got to go up and say thank you and give some gratitude for his support. Well, one thing led to another. He's given me gratitude about my service, finds out it's my birthday. He's like, let me buy you a drink. We hang out for 3 days, you know. And he's like, you got a job? And I'm like, well, I'm looking at doing some stuff and some contracting work or whatnot. But he goes, well, when I get back from Europe, because he had to go over to Europe or something, he goes, I'm going to hit you up. I might have something for you. And I'm like, yeah, right. Nice. Okay. I'm a Kid Rock down in the
house. Right. Get right on that.
Yeah. Good job. You know,
right.
He's a man of his word, you know, and he did. And I went and he's like, I'm happy if you're happy. You do a good job. You work hard.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay, I'll take the job. And I'd worked for him for 2 years and maintained a friendship. I went back because touring slowed down and I was still, you know, I like serving and being with the active duty military still in that community. So I was still doing my DOD work, working with Green Berets and Navy SEALs and whatnot. So that was still good to fight to some degree, but, you know, passing the torch on. And then I moved to Nashville and he's now a resident here in Nashville. And so he's like, hey, I could use you again when I moved down here. And so for the last couple of years, I've been back on the Kid Rock train doing security.
Nice. Yeah, no, when I was in the Navy, he was always doing all kinds of cool stuff for the troops back, you know, forever. And I remember when the Cole got bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of guys I knew went over and like basically got it and brought it back. And in the Navy, whenever you pull away, they play a breakaway song kind of thing when you pull up, leave a port. So they were playing American Badass which you're not usually getting a song like that out of the Navy ships, but when they pulled the coal out of Yemen there, they were
absolutely. I actually have some pieces of the coal that I've seen that he has at his house.
Yeah.
And know the story of how that all happened, playing the American Badass and the guy locking himself in the room so they couldn't stop him from playing it. And it's some interesting stuff, but that's the American spirit, you know. When you get down to the core, our founding fathers and everybody, like, no, we're not gonna take shit from people and we're gonna stand up for what's right. And, you know, I think we still have it, we just need to rekindle it a little bit. But I think the pendulum swings back and forth in life and throughout history, so I think we'll be having a swing back to more core values and foolish minority ruling the majority.
Yeah, I hear you. Sometimes those lessons come hard, but I will say, like, you know, people get like, oh, well, politicians were never this corrupt and never, you know, this, you know, slanderous or whatever. And then you read some of the stuff of like the campaigns with the founding fathers and stuff like that, and they were pretty crazy back then too. And, you know, it, like, it's kind of always been there. And it just, like you said, kind of goes in cycles a little bit of, you know, how aggressive and how open it is, I guess. But no, it definitely, it repeats itself, history. But I'm afraid that the learning curve may be a little hard and long, and we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It's better to be prepared, I guess, is the answer.
Absolutely. Prepared for everything.
So if people want to get their minds straight and, you know, kind of figure out how to kind of maybe change their attitude, their approach on life and find out how to get ahead. They want to check out your book, The Asset Mindset. Where are we going to get it?
Well, you can go to my website, theassetmindset.com, and go to the book section, and you can click buy now, or you can type in bit.ly/theassetmindset, and that'll take you to my publisher's Simon & Schuster page, and then you can pick and choose where you want to buy it, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Any one of those places have it. We're all over the place. And if you get the book and you like it, please leave a review. Chuck, please leave a review. Reviews help a lot with all the algorithm stuff, as I'm sure you know, with podcasts and things. Yep. You know, a lot of that technical stuff helps out. So, and thank you for having me. It was enjoyable. Hey,
if you buy it now and leave the reviews now, it'll give you the big push to make it a New York Times bestseller. It's really what
that's
we're
what I'm hoping for. Fingers crossed, please. And
living your best life.
Too. Christmas is right around the corner. If you know anybody that, you know, it doesn't have to be just for yourself. If I get a second, I can share a quick story here. There's a gentleman that got the book, and he got it for himself. Well, it turns out his daughter got a hold of it and ended up reading it, and it changed her life. She was in therapy dealing with mental health issues, anxiety, depression. And he goes, my book in a week changed her more than 3 years of therapy that they've been sending her to. Nice. He goes, I saw that change. He goes, I bought the book for all my nieces, nephews, everybody I knew that could need the help mentally. So don't just think of yourself. Think of the circle around you and the people that, you know, maybe you can help.
So really everybody needs to go out and buy 4 or 5 copies. Just be ready to go. That would help. All right.
Yeah.
So, and you know, like you said, reviews, when you buy the book, reviews for the podcast, you know, anywhere you're listening, comments, give it a like, all that stuff on YouTube. We appreciate it. Otherwise, I would say stay safe and we will talk to you guys next week.
Are required to fulfill the Save Students Act to help prevent suicide and promote healthy student environments. It's the law in Ohio. However, there's no single path to it, which is why there's Sources of Strength Ohio. They provide training in order to promote mental health and prevent outcomes like suicide, violence, bullying, and substance misuse. If your school hasn't set a program to fulfill the Save Students Act, visit sourcesofstrengthohio.org. Sources of Strength Ohio, to empower a well world.